The following content you're about to hear is excerpted from the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT AM 1490 and is the property of Saga Communications. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
It's goodbye, baby. Honey, your time has come. Turn the tables out, you're the one on the bum. It's la la la, singing la la la. I'm so happy I'm singing la la la.
Into the 10 o'clock hour here on the Live and Local program, WKVT AM 1490. I'm your host, Chris Lenoir, with you every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy to welcome to the studio, although it's by telephone, not in person. It would be even better if she were here in person, but we can't get everything we ask for. But we're glad that Kirsten Cappy was able to call into the program today. Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Brattleboro.
So Kirsten is a native of Brattleboro, and now you live up in Maine, and you own and operate a marketing firm called Curious City, which specializes in children's books. Tell us a little bit about it.
It does indeed. Marketing is on the little marquee, but it's a little bit more like an advocacy group. We try and find the mission within books and where they belong in the world and what people should be reading them, and try and find little projects that bring book and mission and people together to make kid readers.
I love that idea of it being advocacy more than marketing. I mean, you're talking about a situation where, especially with children, be it any age range, you know, we can go all the way to age, you know, 3 all the way up to 18, so many different forms of media, so many different forms of entertainment, so many messages are trying to take part of their time that it almost becomes an advocacy effort in order to remind them that reading is important and, you know, reading books, reading good books is, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? See, I don't read enough, so I don't have the right words. It's constructive. It helps them.
We'll get you
it
started.
Helps them grow. Yeah, that's why we're doing this segment.
Check in with me. I'll get you started on books. No, I mean, there's something completely and utterly unique about reading that doesn't come from other media, doesn't come from other storytelling. You know, part of it is the being able to see pictures in our head, the being able to read printed words on a page and sort of imagine what that little universe looks like, whether it's reality, fiction, or fantasy, that little exercise in our brain allows us to envision other things. And, you know, kids that grow up to be envisioners can, you know, maybe find solutions to the great big world and all the little, big, huge, grand problems we've created for them.
That's right. Now, and you talked about part of the role of Curious City is helping people discover that mission, and that really is something that, well, it's not unique to children's literature, but it is more of the goal of children's literature. There is a little bit more of a goal in terms of what they want to get across to a reader, you know, in any kind of book, whether it's a Dr. Seuss book or an adolescent book. You know, there is a lesson that they're hoping they take away versus, say, your summer beach reading for an adult that, you know, the bodice rippers of old and things like that. There typically is, or at least what makes a good children's book, there typically is a mission behind it, yes?
There is a mission behind it. You know, good books don't make that mission didactic.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of woven in there. But at an early age, you know, starting at the very, very early age, and we're finding with this with all this great research about infant and toddler brain development, is that, you know, kids need words. Like, a growing brain needs as many words as possible. And they need images and words wound together. And they need them actually coming out of the mouth of the people they care about the most. Because they're showing that kids learn the best when they feel safe and comfortable. So, you know, that all, it's, we always knew it was good to read aloud to our kids, but all the little research is tromping along and telling us that it's actually quite true that more words kids have in their lives, the smarter they are.
Yeah, it's true. There was a presentation at the school board right before this last town meeting here, and there was a lot of quantitative research that the presenter from the State Department of Education made, showing that just in terms of how many words children are exposed to at different ages and different stages of development and the importance of reading to them. But you also brought up the image component. And at young age, the illustrations in a young person's book is crucial to its success, I dare say, no?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I love, there is a big award every year for the best illustrated book called The Caldecott, which we remember from our school library days.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, Erin Stead won, and she was talking about picture books, and I love what she said. She's like, yeah, you know, a picture book is like a little art gallery that you can take out free from the library and take home for you, and it's actually created absolutely just for you. And I think, you know, I work with all these astounding artists who could be doing so many other things, but they've chosen to try and tell stories with their art for kids' little brains. And I find that the most admirable job on the planet.
Now, you and I today are going to talk about some of the books that you would recommend as a summer reading list. This weekend was the deadline for registering for the Dig Into Reading program at the Brooks Memorial Library, which is part of the whole collaborative summer library program series. You know, they had 2 weeks of registration. We had Jerry Carboni from the Brooks Memorial Library on the program to help promote this. So hopefully everybody out there has gone and enrolled their child in the Dig Into Reading program, or at least has an encouraging a summer reading list for their kids. But that's how we're going to approach this today, right, Kirsten? We're going to talk about best books for age 3 and under, ages 4 to 9, ages 10 to 12. And then from there, too, does it break down into young teen and older teen, 13 to 15, 15 to 17? I can see a lot of difference in the type of titles one would select for those two different age groups.
It does. Everybody in the literacy world is a little hesitant to break it down because... Mm. First of all, young adults, as in 20-plus, are the biggest readers of young adult books. so there are a lot more adults reading young adult books, and there are a lot of tweens trying to get older really quick by reading some heavy-handed stuff. So, yes, we will break it down, but everybody ignores it.
Okay, good. So that's the first piece of advice. After we break this down, just ignore what we say.
Ignore what I say. That's the way it goes.
Okay, but give us a little teaser. We're going to go to a break in a minute. But for you, what are you looking for when you read, you know, so many children's books across the whole spectrum? You're exposed to so much of this literature. What are you looking for in terms of what makes it a good book? And are there any unifying traits across these different age demographics that make a good book?
Well, one of the really amazing, delightful things about being in a bookstore or being in the library is that everybody that comes through the front door is actually looking for something completely different. And there are books that sort of have a universal appeal, but it's teasing out what we want to read. I mean, it's like saying, what makes a good movie? Well, we can argue it till the cows come home. But we want people to turn the page. You want to keep turning those pages and being eager to get back to the book. And you want, if it's a little kid, you want them to pull that book off the shelf again and again and say, please, please, please read this to me. That's the hallmark of a good book.
Yeah, whether the parent wants to or not, I know plenty of parents like, oh, I've got to read that book again.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and amongst that exasperation is actually something really really great is that they're comfortable with that book. And the more they become familiar with it, the more they feel confident about being in the little world of words.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's take a quick break. Everybody get out your pencil and paper, because on the other side of this break, Kirsten Caffey is going to start telling us what books should be put on the summer reading list. Back in a minute, right here on the Live and Local program, WKBT AM 1490. A little more Pokey Lafarge.
Be the biggest fish anyone had ever seen.
To the Live and Local program. Your host, Chris Lenoir, and we're spending the hour with Kirsten Caffey. She is a consultant, right? Rather than a marketing book, children's book marketer, a children's book consultant. Is that more fair?
That's more fair. Let's call me a consultant today.
Let's call you a consultant today. Today you're consulting us. You're telling us what...
I'm consulting with the great people of Brattleboro, Vermont.
Yeah. As we mentioned, the Dig Into Reading program, registration ended on Saturday. Hopefully everybody has been over to the Brooks Memorial Library and got their goals for the summer in terms of what they're going to read. And if you're wondering, gee, what books are out there that I can steer my children towards, or if there are children out there listening, hey, you never know. Kids might be tuning into AM radio. It might be all the rage these days. It might be the whole, going retro kind of thing. Let's tune into AM radio. Forget broadband and XM and all those other things. AM radio is where it's at, Kirsten.
They're not getting driver's license.
Right.
These new kids today.
That's right.
For credit cards, it's all going retro.
It's all going retro. So we were going to just break this down the same way that the Dig Into Reading program breaks it down. There's the junior program for ages 3 and under. What are you seeing in that realm for that age group that you would say to people, keep an eye out for?
Oh, there's tremendously sweet things coming out. The publishing industry as a whole is thinking more about babies and toddlers, which I was saying before is where it's at. We have to be filling them up with rich words and sweetness. And my all-time current book for kids right now for that 0 to 3 age group is this book called Snug. And it's by Carol Thompson. It actually comes out of the UK and is published here by Child's Play. And it goes through how snug little animals are and in corresponding how snug kids are. And I bring it up because we've got our little Dig Into Reading theme. And there's lots of, snugging down in birds' nests, piglets snugging down in their vests. And my favorite, does a slug feel snug asleep in the mud? And the slug is adorable. I mean, who knew that slugs were adorable? And they say, you bet. And on the corresponding page, there's all sorts of kids getting their fingers into the summer mud. So I adore that one. It also has peas and squash and carrots and compares kids to those little things sprouting out of the ground. So that's a real favorite. And it's got durable pages so that your baby or toddler can grip onto it. It's not a board book, but it's tough.
Now you said
so
this is. You said this is one of your all-time favorites. So I want to. This is an older book. This isn't a new title. This is one of these that fall under the terminology of classic.
It's actually fairly new, but okay. You'll hear me saying that all the time. It's my all-time favorite. It's at the top of my list.
I see. Okay. Just to qualify that.
That TikTok of daily favorites keeps going on and on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 50 people in my top five basketball players of all time. I don't apologize for that.
No, you shouldn't.
I could see where Snug has a lot of great values to impart, you know, and that opportunity to really relate with your kid at bedtime. You know, and that, I think that sounds like a beautiful, beautiful book for that three and under crowd. What else you got in that title, or in that age range?
Well, if you're going a little more active, so that's Snuggle Down at the end of the day, there is a new book out called Bow Wow Wiggle Waggle by Mary Newell DePalma, who's a author illustrator down in Boston. And it's a fabulous book because it's just all action words. There's no narrative. The narrative is all in the picture, so which is really hard for radio. But it is about a boy and his dog and a red ball. And the red ball gets thrown, the dog goes after the ball, and all chaos breaks loose. All sorts of animals join in the chase. The dog chases the cat chases the goose, and then the dog and the boy lose each other, and there is great sadness all around. But
aww,
all is saved by a squirrel and a bird. Quite fun, nice little action book, and nice to get outside afterwards and play ball. And if this is fun, if you send me a picture or video of you with the book, I send you a red ball.
Oh, really? So how can people do that?
Bow Wow Wiggle Waggle Ball.
So go ahead and plug. How can people send you a picture of them with the book?
So if you go to CuriousCityDPW.com, there's little instructions there.
Okay.
And it doesn't cost anything. We just send you a little fun little bright ball.
Right. I'm trying to envision how that book sounds. Do you happen to have a copy of it in front of you? Can you give us a little snippet of it? I'm just trying to, you know, we say it's all action words, and so I want to kind of get a sensibility of that, and maybe some other people, too, would like to hear how that sounds read aloud.
Exactly. So it opens with, bow wow, wiggle waggle, yip-yap, yowl, pop-pow, pitter-patter, meow, growl. See the action building here?
I feel the tension in the air. There's definite
yes.
things happening. There's cats and dogs.
There's cats and dogs, and there's some flea fly, flitter, flatter, flicker, flash. And then the duck arrives, the goose arrives, and they're splashing. And, yeah, it gets very tense.
No, but it's not rhyming. It's not a kind of Seussian thing. It's just stringing together these action words.
Yep, they have a rhythm. They have a rhythm of all of their own once you get flowing with it.
Yeah, well, you can have a lot of fun. I mean, that's part of the fun, too, is how can you make a child laugh, engage, you know, they want you to read parts over and over again. A lot of times it's those really funny made-up words or those onomatopoeia, easy for me to say, those onomatopoetic words like that you're saying right now that I think really bring kids into the whole fold. And to see them on the page, too, probably as well, to, you know, not hearing meow from a cat and seeing it written out is probably a revelation for a lot of kids.
It is, and it's great. This book has a really wide age range because it is a great book to learn to read by because, you know, we know our little animal sounds at a very early age. And I actually did a videotape with a kid who's just learning how to read, and he had so much fun with this.
Well, why don't we switch over, if we could, to the next age group. We've got a couple minutes before the next break. Go to the age 4 to 9 group. And talk about some of the things there. Now, what in terms of development, you know, certainly ages 3 and under, you know, parents are reading to their kids, but in this aged 4 to 9 group, kids are starting to read on their own.
Right, yeah, and picture books work at that age. You know, you get kids are saying, oh, that's too babyish, but oh my God, there's so many picture books with really rich material and the huge growing collection of nonfiction picture books, too. So, yeah, go on to Brooks Memorial and decide to not shelves, but the nonfiction shelves because there's a book you can read that.
Oh,
you know.
Kirsten, I think your phone is starting to break up a little bit there. I'm not hearing you so well. Why don't we go to a break right now and let's see if we can fix that phone issue. It's right
okay.
at 10:29. So it is time for a break here. I'll read a quick sponsorship message while we're at it. I want to thank Brattleboro Cheese Shop for being a sponsor of the Live and Local program. In addition to delicious cheeses from around Vermont and around the world, they also have toasty, tasty grilled cheese sandwiches, the best soda selection in town, and they now serve breakfast. They're open every day but Monday at 7 a.m. They're right across the street from the Latches Theater at 39 Main. Back in a minute with more summer reading list suggestions from Kirsten Cappy of Curious City here on the Live and Local program. My guest on the phone is Kirsten Cappy. She is a children's book consultant. You can learn more about her by visiting her website, curiouscity.com. And she's requested some Pokey Lafarge this morning to bring her in and out of our segments. And even though you're up in the big city of, you're up in Portland, Maine now, Kirsten, is that right?
I'm in Portland, Maine, which is pretty much Brattleboro with an ocean.
Right. Well, but you know, it's a bigger population than here. I mean, this Pokey Lafarge stuff is saying, you know, you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl.
I'm still a Brattleboro girl.
Yes, you are. Well, we're going through the whole Dig Into Reading program, suggested summer reading list here, and we had made our way up to ages 4 to 9 by the break here, and you'd said when I chose Sweet Potato Blues off this Pokey Lafarge record, Riverboat Soul, that one of the books you were going to talk about had a gardening-related quality to it.
It does. It's all about gardening. And as the summer reading team is digging into reading, everybody's pulling out their gardening books. And this is a brand-new book called Rainbow Stew. It's by Catherine Falwell, who has been doing picture books for 20 years, all with cut paper collage. They're beautiful illustrations to dig into because you start to see layer upon layer upon layer, and you think, she didn't do this with paint. She did it with itty-bitty pieces of paper.
Wow.
And Rainbow Stew is about three kids staying at Grandpa's house, and they have great anticipation for a day with Grandpa, and oh no, it's raining.
Rain
is coming down, and they have the saddest faces. And Grandpa says, don't whimper, don't sigh at that cloudy sky. We're going to go out, and we're going to make rainbow stew.
Mm-hmm.
And they get on their hats and their galoshes and their raincoats, and they go out into the garden and start harvesting a whole rainbow of colors and come in muddy, muddy, muddy. In fact, the publisher said, I think they're a little too muddy, but we know that mud is good for kids.
It is.
And it is.
You got to play with dirt.
Yes, you got to play in the mud. You got to get dirty. Michael Pollan says a little dirt does us all good.
Right, builds your immunity. Hey, so you were talking about before the break, and that's when we're having a little cell phone issue, but we were getting into this idea at the age 4 to 9 level, the transition from being read to reading on your own, and talking about, you know, these books and the illustrations they have. And also, I imagine at ages 4 to 9, this is really where language acquisition is at its highest peak in terms of, you know, kids just processing information, absorbing it like sponges. Would that be true?
That would be true. It's an incredible time of transition, and, you know, parents and teachers pay really close attention here. You know, the lots of trips to the library will help, and lots of going into different sections and finding the spots where your kid is really interested. And say, you know, if they're interested in monster trucks, buying. There are books with monster trucks with great rich words and pull them off the shelf. But so go into the picture book section and go into the nonfiction section, because they're going to start, especially with those repeat read alouds we were talking about, where you're like, oh my God, I can't read this book again. Well, your kid's actually memorizing that book, which is one really big step towards unraveling the words on the page and it becoming something that they can read themselves.
Yeah, well, you bring that up, and recently I was helping some friends put their kids to bed, and you know, with a little five-year-old boy, and he loves John Deere. Anything John Deere related is right up his alley. Now, this book wasn't about John Deere, but it was about tractors. So, and it was about a big tractor pull. And even before I would turn the page, he knew what was coming the next page. You know, so it is that kind of opportunity, that and getting, I guess, a sense of how a narrative works, how narratives are pieced together.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what's great, what's going on in his little boy heart is he's getting all sorts of confidence because he knows what's on the next page and you don't. And, you
right.
know, building that little, you know, nest of confidence around books makes them more confident when they hit school and, you know, can encounter all that other crazy stuff.
Sure.
And another big bridge to reading is graphic novels. Like, graphic novels have gotten, I'm not talking about Superman comic books, DC,
right.
I'm talking about really story-based, fun graphic novels. And one of my favorite sort of beginning reader graphic novels is one called Sticky Burr, The Adventures in Burrwood Forest. And it's by a guy in Boston called John Lechner. And it's about a sticky burr who is a little different from all the other sticky burrs. He doesn't want to spend his day being mean and prickly and, you know, getting caught up in squirrel tails. He really wants to enjoy life and play his ukulele and put on a show. And, of course, he has an arch nemesis called Scurvy Burr. And Scurvy is trying to keep the burrs, you know, to mission, to being prickly and mean. And he chases poor Sticky Burr out of the forest. But you might imagine that Sticky Burr will come back flying on the back of a dragonfly at the end of the graphic novel to save the day.
So you're talking graphic novels here for children under the age of 10. Now, I envision a graphic novel just in terms of its length maybe being a little too long for the attention span of somebody ages 4 to 9, but that doesn't sound like it's the case here.
No, not at all. These are really friendly pictures. Not lots of pages that you see in graphic novels. More full-page spreads.
I see.
In fact, there's an entire company of books called Toon that is Art Spiegelman and his wife. Art
right.
Spiegelman did Mouse and all
right.
those other hardcore, fabulous adult graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
They've started a whole beginning reader graphic novel series, which are fabulous.
Let's clarify that hardcore. Let's clarify that hardcore, you know, meaning that it's, you know, serious adult fiction, not, not sexually explicit material.
No.
For those people who aren't familiar with Spiegelman's work.
Words mean different things.
Right. Oh, great. Well, we could spend a whole other show talking about graphic novels and the whole evolution of that. I mean, they teach graphic novels now in colleges, you know, and it's really become this accepted art form and something that really is helping keep reading alive. So let's save that for another time and transition into the age 10 to 12 group as we get more towards, you know, this pre-adolescent. What kind of things are children looking to read at that age?
Well, there's a transition here where we're going from a picture book, heavily illustrated, to a lot of words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some really wonderful, you know, you want to look for, in that transition period, books with some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite little swashbuckling read of the summer is a book called The High Skies Adventures of Blue Jay the Pirate by Scott Nash. It has a very classic feel, nice hardcover. It is pirates set in the Northeast bird world.
Hmm.
So it is... It is, there are sword fights and evil ravens and evil colonialists, but the vision of this book is really amazing. The ships fly through the air on drafts of wind and park in trees, and they have these amazing bird claws that come out of the bottom of the boats and will latch on to branches. And they're all about stealing feed from each other. And if you attack, incredible diagrams in the book.
We missed that last part of it. There was a little bit of glitch in your phone. Incredible diagrams of what?
There's incredible diagrams of the insides of the ship how they latch on to things, and maps and treasure and weapon wielding. It's an incredibly fun read.
Yeah, as kids get to that age 10 to 12, they want to have those kinds of, adventures, certainly, and to have that kind of element to it. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up our segment, Children's Reading List, with Kirsten Caffey of Curious City. Stay tuned.
In its spring, it grows strong for me and it takes work to bite me. Wanna feed off you, baby.
Back on the Live and Local show, WKBT AM 1490. We've been spending the hour with Kirsten Caffey of Curious City. She's a children's book consultant, and she's telling us some of her favorites in the world of children's literature. And we were going through it kind of in the same way that they divided it up for the Dig Into Reading program, which is part of the Collaborative Summer Library series. And Brooks Memorial Library right here in Brattleboro is a participant in that. Hopefully you've enrolled your child or at least have some sort of a summer reading plan for them. And we are going to get a list of some books, and we're going to share them on the WKBT Facebook page. Right, Kirsten?
Correct.
Yeah, because we're not going to be able to get to all of them here. But when we left off, we were talking about the ages 10 to 12 group, and it struck me that this is really when the kind of, I guess it's not completely true, but, the previous books you're talking about were more backyard adventure. And then you get to this, the last book you talked about in the last segment about the birds and, this kind of pirate theme. So really age 10 to 12 is kind of when kids start dreaming about these other worlds. Would that be fair to say?
It would totally be fair to say.
Oh, cool.
They are starting to become independent readers.
Right.
And they are exploring what they want to read, what they're interested in, and this is when they start reading fantasy books, they start reading action adventure, they start defining sort of a genre that they're into. I love books that cross genres, and one that is a really sweet summer read is a book called The Water Castle, and it's by Megan Fraser Blakemore, and it sort of blurs the line between magic and science. It's set in modern day, so it's actually set in Maine at an old water, what did they call them? It's really sort of fictionally Poland Springs. In the turn of the century, where people were seeking water cures.
A spa, right?
And this boy is sent up with his family up to this ancestral home in Maine, where he's never been. And it's this gigantic castle, and it was built to draw people in from Boston and all over the world for the water cures.
Mm-hmm.
But there actually might be something in this town, because people are younger and fresher and smarter, and the original family came because they thought the fabled Fountain of Youth was in this small town in Maine. And it's about three kids trying to see beyond all these stories of magic and see if there's actually something happening in this small town. And the brilliant thing is the book ends and you have no actual idea what has happened. You have to unravel it yourself.
Oh, neat. Now I hear how the book is constructed, and I hear, you know, three kids figuring out together. And another characteristic I would say about books of this age maybe is the parents taking kind of a back seat in terms of their characters and the character development in this, and it really is about the relationships and the dynamic between kids of the same age, kind of that peer group relations.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, the death rate for parents in children's literature is alarming. You really, you know, kids' books, this age is all about your biggest fear and your biggest fantasy, which is you get to go off and do things on your own without anybody standing in your way. And in sort of a lot of children's literature, that means that the parents are, you know, MIA in one way or the other.
Conveniently inconspicuous, right?
Yes. And I have a book, Chris, that is specifically for you because I assume that you were following the Whitey Bulger debacle every day in the news.
Sure.
Sure. There is a very funny, fast-paced book, which could be read at 10 and could go all the way up to 15 or more, called Moxie and the Art of Breaking the Rules.
Oh, I love the title.
By Erin Dion. And it is about a girl who is home for the summer, and there is a knock at the door. She lives with her mom and her grandparents in this house. There's a knock at the door, and there's this tough chick on the front step, leather jacket, says, "We want it back. Tell your grandpa we want it back."
Cool.
She has no idea what they want back, but she said, "I'll be back in 2 weeks. If you don't have it for us, somebody's going to get hurt." And what it turns out, and this is not giving too much away, is that Moxie's grandfather was involved in the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum heist, the biggest art heist in history. And he knows where the stuff is hidden. And the people that stole it are out of prison and they want it. But the bad thing is that Gramps has severe dementia, and he doesn't remember where he hid it. So Moxie and her friend Ollie, who is a hardcore geocacher, have to find the artwork hidden in Boston.
Oh, neat. And that's a nice little modern twist on it. I've actually done geocaching, and it's a pretty cool way to garner interest of kids in getting outside and then also, you know, adapting to this technology. I really think there's a lot of value to that. And that sounds like a great book. It sounds like something I'd be interested in reading. I'll definitely make sure to pick that one up when you post the reading list on Facebook. We've still got a few minutes to go, and we haven't even touched the adolescents, you know, 13 and up. And, you know, we don't want to just, you know, do blanket statements, but what are some of your favorites there that you'd want to turn people on to reading?
Well, I'll tell you, this is my favorite secret of the summer, and this is actually will connect you with a ton of books for that 13-plus age group. I run a project every summer for the audiobook publishers, those publishers that are taking books and performing them and turning them into MP3s for kids and adults and educators to listen to. And there is a website that is giving away 24 free downloadable MP3s this summer of all teen novels.
Cool.
So every week, the website, and I'll make sure we get it up on the Facebook page too, is audiobooksync.com, and it's S-Y-N-K. S-Y-N-C. Sorry about that. And each week we give away the first book in a teen series. And alongside that is a book from your sort of required summer reading. So a book that you have to read during the summer paired with something you'd want to read. Like coming up is Rotters, which is this terrifying horror series about a teen grave digger. Sorry. And that is paired, of course, with Frankenstein.
Well, I almost played Pokey Lafarge's In the Graveyard now, had I known that, and we'd been doing so good with this sort of thing.
We have been.
But that sounds like a good one. I mean, you know, kids in your teenage years, you gravitate towards sometimes the macabre. So that sounds like a perfectly acceptable title. Now, I wanted to ask you on this whole audiobook tip, just in terms of, is that the same kind of values of acquiring language can be done through audiobooks as well as reading a physical book, yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All these studies are showing that there are some benefits that we get by being read to,
mm-hmm.
rather than reading on the page. It's actually pretty glorious for us, and it can fill in time. You know, I discovered audiobooks because there was just too much I wanted to read,
right.
and I realized I could actually maybe do housework and laundry if I had story going on in my ear. So,
yeah.
You know, now that finally audiobooks are portable, you know, MP3, you can throw them on your phone, you can throw them on the player in your car, and then you can be filling those sort of down hours with story.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I know a lot of people take their iPods to the gym, and rather than music, they're listening to podcasts of books and things like that while they're exercising too. There's a lot of great value there. Hey, Kirsten, we're pretty much out of time here. We're going to have to do this again, and soon.
I would love it.
So
you've
got a busy summer ahead of you, I'm sure, as the consultant for Curious City. Where are you going to be doing this summer?
Well, one thing we're going to be doing is, I was talking about that book, Moxie. We are actually geocaching 5,000 little cards that have free chapters, free downloadable chapters, both as an MP3 that you can listen to or a PDF that you can read. We're hiding those all over the country. And we're just about to head out to the American Library Association meeting in Chicago, 10,000 librarians, to talk to them about that program.
So people could go to the Curious City. Can you just type in curiouscity.com and you'll get to the website, right? You put in that little WordPress thing before, but I don't think you need that. I think if you just do the domain, you'll be able to get to it.
Yeah, you can just search for Curious City, and it's actually curiouscity.net.
.net. Okay, that's important.
Yeah, .com went away so many years ago.
Well, check that out, and certainly, hopefully soon, Kirsten, we can have you back on the Live and Local program. Maybe even in the studio if you get back down for a visit. But one way or another, we're going to get you back on the show.
I like it.
All right. Thanks so much for your time today. That was Kirsten Cappy of Curious City. We'll be posting a list of the books here in a minute. And I just wanted to say that CBS News is coming up on the break here. So I'm going to play the station ID. The preceding content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which is on WKBT AM 1490 every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon. For more podcasts, please visit www.1490wkvt.com. Thank you very much.